Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's the holiday shopping season, and this year estimates are that there will be billions, that's right, billions of dollars spent in online shopping. So if you're someone who plans to shop online, here's a suggestion. Make sure that your web browser, whether it's Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer or Safari or something else, is absolutely up to date. And perhaps even more important, make sure that the plugins your browser uses are current as well. Security experts ran some tests online and found that anywhere from 28% to over 40% of browsers and or their plugins are vulnerable to hacking attacks. As the bank robber Willie Sutton was supposed to have said, although he never really did, "I rob banks because that's where the money is." This holiday season, for hackers and other lowlifes, the money is in internet shopping. Wait a minute, you may say. I know what my browser is, but what the heck are plugins? Fair question. Browsers are built to take you to websites and to display what's there correctly. But if you want to watch video or listen to audio or view a graphic or buy something, that all happens through small add-on programs referred to as plugins. One of the most common and well-known, and one of the most troublesome in terms of vulnerabilities, is called Flash. Most of us use Flash for watching videos, you know, movie trailers or videos on YouTube. But Flash is used for many other things on websites as well, so making sure we have the latest update is very important. And ditto for all of the other plugins that browsers use. To find the plugins on your browser, the first place to start is with your browser's help section. That will tell you where to find the plugins. In many browsers, plugins are accessed through the browser's preferences. But wherever your plugins are, make sure that they're up to date. And that is especially important if you're going to do online shopping or banking. Enough said. On a seemingly unrelated, but actually very related note, a listener reported that she'd gone to establish a Social Security account so she could check on her Social Security benefits. Naturally, she had to put in her name and address and Social Security number. No surprise there. But what was a surprise, and a big one, was that the website said that in order to establish an account, the site had to be sure that it knew she was really who she said she was, and so it asked her to answer a few questions. The questions were presented in multiple choice format and involved things like marital status, previous addresses, what kind of car she drove, and a couple of even more personal items. Note that the Social Security site didn't ask for that information. It already had it, and it asked her to choose the proper answer from five choices. She wondered where the government got that information. After digging around on the site for a bit, she discovered that the Social Security Administration apparently contracts with private credit vendors to obtain that information and uses it to confirm the identity of those who wish to open an account. On the one hand, that seems like a very good thing. After all, it helps keep scammers from doing things like diverting a Social Security payment that was intended for her to someone else. On the other hand, it may feel just a bit creepy. After all, the government is specifically prohibited by law from accumulating personal information, such as what kind of car you drive. Though, given recent revelations about the NSA, no one knows how things play out in actual practice. But that is the law. However, there is no law that prevents federal agencies from purchasing information from private data brokers, and that is not an uncommon practice for government agencies these days. And what do those data brokers know about us? In short, a lot. Axiom, one of the largest of these companies, claims that it has an average of 1,500 pieces of information on consumers, on 500 million consumers, and can predict 3,000 different propensities about how a particular consumer will react, for example, to one brand versus another, or to one type of advertisement versus another. And of course, part of that profile that places us into one of 70 specific personality clusters, which are, quote, summarized indicators of lifestyle, interests, and activities, end quote, is assembled from the websites we visit and the products we look at there and the purchases we make online. And if we use a credit card or a customer loyalty card, on purchase we make offline as well. So, as we surf for holiday gifts, make sure that browsers and plugins are up to date to help prevent hackers from making off with information that could lead to big financial hits. But also realize that whatever we buy online or offline with a credit card or shopper loyalty card will add to those 1,500 data points that Axiom and other data brokers are putting together about us. Data that can show up in the oddest places, such as on a government website. Whether this is a good thing or not is up to each of us to decide for ourselves. But suppose we decide that it's not so great. What can we do? Well, not much about the past. But in this holiday season, we might choose to shop locally, pay cash, and remain pretty invisible to Axiom and those who want the information that Axiom and its brethren collect about us. Just a thought, and we'll do our best to explore others that affect our daily life in the digital realm right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.